You are listening to AFL Tonight, presented by ArenaFan.com, celebrating 10 years as the complete arena football resource.
And welcome to AFL Tonight. I am your host, Tim Capper. Welcome to this week's edition of the show. Interesting things have been, interesting trends are starting to emerge. We are only 4 weeks into the show, into the season, but it's very possible that all these trends that we're seeing are going to accumulate coming up to, obviously, ending in Arena Bowl 21 in New Orleans. We have a division which has two, not one, but two undefeated teams. And I think in particular it's a very interesting to see that one of these teams we expect to be undefeated at this time, another one not so much so. And obviously we are talking about the Eastern Division, Dallas Desperados who are 4-0 and the Philadelphia Soul who are 3-0. Who would have thought? I mean, through three games, Philadelphia's only given up 117 points. So, it's very weird to see this. Plus, we also have another undefeated team in the Georgia Force. It's a team that has been on the ups and downs as far as, we'll see what happened to them last year. We know what happened the year prior, going to Arena Bowl. It's an interesting thing, especially in the Southern Division, 4-0. I think the biggest surprise that we have seen so far this year comes to be the Tampa Bay Storm. We'll get to that in a moment, though. I just want to remind everybody that we're going to continue this week with the rankings of wide receivers, the salaries, the top 10 salaries, when it comes to this week, two-way wide receivers. Last week we finished up with the one-way wide receivers, or what used to be called the original offensive specialists. This week we're going to actually merge the wide receiver defensive backs and wide receiver defensive men together in one lump sum. Also, as normal, we're going to go over this week's upcoming schedule and decide which will be the AFL Tonight Game of the Week. We also have not really interesting developments to the 8-ball versus humans update, but interesting nonetheless. Couple things we are going to be doing different this week. Something we're going to introduce. It's a rules book Q&A. Where you, the fans, can go ahead and ask us questions that you may have seen in the previous week's game, you may have been wondering for quite a long time, and we are going to try to answer those questions based on the information that we have received via the league about these certain rules. And as I said, there is a specific thread over at Arena Fan in our message boards where you can go ahead and post your questions, and we will hopefully be able to answer your questions each week. Also, we're going to continue keeping an eye on the differences in the scoring this year. Have the rules changed the way the scoring is? As everybody knows, we can beat it till it's dead. Substitution rules. Beat a dead horse? What is it? You know either. also, when it comes besides the scoring, we're gonna go over some weird stuff, good, bad. I am heading more towards one direction about something that happened this week in Orlando on the Monday night game on ESPN. Which can really make the league look bad. One quick thing that I am going to mention before we start, and I really don't know how to feel about this. It was actually announced, through one of our Arena Fan associates that Barry Wagner, number two all time and you know, best ever players in Arena Football League history, 20-year anniversary. Barry Wagner, when you really think of him, you think of him being specifically with the Orlando Predators. Well, as you may or may not know, he went to San Jose, where he spent a couple of his years also. He decided he was either not re-signed, was a free agent, decided to sign with the Tampa Bay Storm, and was cut by the Tampa Bay Storm. I think it's a little bit of irony there. But was cut. And now is resurfacing as of today's taping with the World Indoor Football League's Daytona Beach Thunder. Talk about a total throwback for Barry Wagner. I really do not know what to say as a fan. I understand he wants to continue to play. He had other offers from the AFL, one being not only Orlando, but from Columbus. I just don't... Barry Wagner not in the AFL, playing for another indoor league, does not seem right now. Many of you may or may not know, Barry Wagner actually did get his start in the fledgling APFL. Back right before he signed with Orlando, actually. So early 90s. I'm trying to remember the actual, if I can get the correct information. I don't want to obviously mislead our viewers and our listeners here. So viewers, you're watching me? PSFL, that's it. PSFL, the Professional Spring Football League. Barry Wagner tried out for them. The league never got off the ground. It actually went defunct and did not play. But then when his legacy became what it is and went with the Orlando Predators. So, you know, obviously, all the best of luck to Barry and what he's doing. Barry Wagner, World Indoor Football League, it just doesn't sound the same. I really don't know. And it's funny as we're talking about it, and it's a great segue, actually. Tampa Bay. Him being dropped by Tampa Bay. First of all, I'm going to be blunt and say, what the hell is wrong with Tampa? 0-4 to start the season. Not only do they start 0-4, they've gone through three kickers, if I'm not mistaken. This week, they released quarterback John Kaleo. So Stoney Case is now their starting quarterback for the near future. 0-4 right now with the 0-4 start. Tampa Bay has tied their longest losing streak in Tampa Bay Storm history at 6 in a row. Also, from what our crack staff was able to find out, Tim Markham. Everybody knows who Tim Markham is, the volatile Tim Markham, great coach. This is the first time that Tim Markham has had a losing streak in the Arena Football League of this many games. He himself is also, as far as we know, 6 games in a row is the longest losing streak for Tim Markham in his history in the AFL. Who would have thought? Tampa Bay is one of the flagships of the league. I don't give a crap what everybody says. It's not Colorado and Elway. Speaking of beating a dead horse. It's not them. But Tampa Bay has totally taken a turn, and I really don't know how they're going to do this week with Stoney Case at the helm. It's not going to be that easy. Tampa Bay goes to San Jose this week. it is not going to be an easy thing for the Storm to win and be and try to avoid becoming 0-5 and breaking the longest losing streak in team history. Good luck. That's all I can say. I know our President-in-Chief Joe Kaufman, who owns ArenaFan.com, is a longtime Tampa Bay Storm supporter, game attender, etc. I haven't really had a chance to ask him how he feels about it, but I can imagine it's not fun when a team that has been consistently won starts off this poorly. So then let's see what happens. Well, we've been all going over the past couple weeks. In particular, the salaries for players in the AFL. And I know this is something that people have been talking about quite a bit. They want to know what are players making? What is the average? What is this? Well, we've been able to get our hands the information that we have. You know, it's in our hands. Look, this is it. This is the information that we have and that's been given to us. Now, the information we have is, it's not necessarily dated, but it goes back to the before the beginning of the year, the beginning of the season. So some of the information that we have may have changed, and if we can update it as quickly as possible, we will do so. But 2 weeks ago, we went over the top 10 quarterback salaries in the league. Last week, it was the one-way wide receivers, used to be called the offensive specialists, whatnot. We grouped them there. This week, we're going to be looking at wide receiver defensive backs and ones that are considered wide receivers, linebackers. Not that, you know, the names that show up on this list, they are known names if you know the AFL and if you know your team, if you know your teams. I really don't think some of these are not really that much of a surprise, but there are some ones right now that, as usual, are total steals when it comes to how much these are being paid. Either way, let's go ahead and let's get to it and mention it. So if we were looking at the number one two-way wide receiver right now in the AFL, no surprise in my mind when I see this, it goes to New York Dragons wide receiver, linebacker, Mike Hrachek. He is averaging through the term of his contract $100,000. And he has, including this year, he has one more year left on his contract. After that, number two on that list goes to a perennial and a long time AFL alum, Randy Gatewood of the Arizona Rattlers. He is making, on an average, $92,700 for the term of his contract, and it just happens to be he's in the last year of his current contract. Number three goes to LA Avengers wide receiver, defensive back Kevin Ingram. He is averaging a $90,000 over the term of his contract, and it's a multiple year contract. Number four goes to, at least now, as I said, this information may have changed. So at the time it was Colorado wide receiver Willis Marshall, but it's now Dallas Desperados wide receiver Willis Marshall. At the time, with the information that we had, he was averaging $89,200 for his contract, and that's a one-year contract. So far, you know, not really any big surprises. And I'm sure number five within this list will not make a difference. You know, it won't be a surprise either. It's Orshawante Bryant of the Utah Blaze, averaging $75,000 over the term of his contract. 2 years left. I think you can possibly almost do the math. Number six on the list goes to, and it's funny, it's the first time I've seen this, but we still wanted to include him in the list anyways. You see with the New Orleans Voodoo, and now is currently on the Austin Wranglers injured reserve. It's Anthony Hines of the Austin Wranglers. He's averaging $68,000 for the term of his contract. And I'm noticing a lot of these players do not go beyond this year for their contract. I mean, most do. I mean, a lot of me, like Damian Hurrell, like we were mentioning last week, he's one of those players where a long-term contract, but, you know, it's funny, now that I mention it, we, you know, double-check information. Damian Hurrell is also in his last year of his contract. Will he be staying in Colorado? I mean, he still has that long monster touchdown streak of games, consecutive games with a touchdown caught. Should be a very interesting offseason, to say the least. But we're week four! Drop it, Tim. Drop it. Yes, yes. Who are we on? Anthony Hines. So number seven on the list. And goes to Dennis, goes to Deshae Dennis. Funny thing is, it was at $66,000 for the term. At the time that we got this information, he does not really have any offensive stats. He only has defensive stats. So, it's very possible that his pay status has actually changed since we received the information. Remember, we've been wanting to try to keep this up as much as possible. But, so he's number seven. Number eight overall goes to former Chicago wide receiver, now current Las Vegas wide receiver, A2 Molden. Averaging $65,000. Number seven on the list. Was that number seven? Did I skip one? Should have gone E2. I got it right. E2 is number eight. Number eight on the list. Number nine, part of the current three-headed monster scheme in Georgia, goes to Derek Lee. He is averaging $62,500 for the term of his contract. As you may know, he's part of the tandem of him, Derek Lee, Chris Jackson, and Troy Bergeron. It goes back to how, you know, Grand Rapids picking up, Grand Rapids and Georgia making the trade for Chris Jackson, you know, mid-season 2 years ago. It's not that Grand Rapids came away empty, but they just, I really think that that obviously Georgia got the best out of this deal. He was number nine and last on the list, for when it comes to, two-way wide receivers currently in the AFL on the pay scale wise. Goes to Orlando Predators wide receiver defensive back Jarvis Dudley, averaging a paltry $62,250 for the term of his contract. Now, you know, obviously interesting to say the least. I mean, but you know, it's funny. A lot of the names when you start getting into the section of players who are two-way, the names do not become that well known, and that's how much of a turnover there has been, I think. Now, a lot of these players have been around for a while, but I think it's just how the landscape of the defense and both the offense and defense has changed because of the free substitution rule. So, but obviously, with changes, there are some surprises. And there are some steals, and we have a couple of them listed here. And these go to two-way wide receivers. Charles Frederick, currently of the New Orleans Voodoo. Not of the New Orleans Voodoo, the Kansas City Brigade. They were the New Orleans Voodoo, Everybody knows. Also, wide receiver defensive back from the LA Avengers. Charles Frederick averaging 31.8 $100,000 over the term of his contract. Wide receiver, defensive back from the LA Avengers, Lindsey Jackson, is averaging $31,000. So there are a lot of names here that, you know, that are becoming perennial stars in the league. Some very big surprises, I mean, that we're looking at here. But, you know, when all comes down to it, they are making their money, and, you know, like Ben Nelson of the San Jose Sabercats, Rookie of the Year, he's still playing well. He's not earning that much money, but it's just, what can I say? I mean, I don't know if any of you agree with a lot of these. I agree with a lot of them. I mean, as I said, once you start getting, breaking down the specifics, it's a little, you know, once you get to the two ways, it's not like it was before, so. I hope you enjoy what we've done. We're going to try to get some more information. If we can get some updated information, we'll get it out to you. Let us know. Do you want to know specifically about the defensive players? And the defensive players are sort of the unsung hero, or defensive, the linebackers, the O-line, the D-line. You want to know about them specifically? Shoot us an email at AFL Tonight. I can get over to the Contact Us section. You want to choose my name, choose Tim Capper, and let us know. And we will get the information out to you.
ArenaFan.com, celebrating 10 years as the Internet's complete arena football resource.
I want to switch gears here real quickly and talk about something that popped up in the game this week on ESPN. I mean, total blowout by the Dallas Desperados. I really don't know what to say about this, but it was on a Dallas pass, where an Orlando fan literally, you know, we think about the fans going for the balls, fall over the boards onto the field. This fan literally got up, stood on the boards, missed the ball himself, landed on the turf, ended up picking up the ball and tossing it into the crowd. Finally, after he did that, there was a penalty thrown for fan interference. Now, we've seen fan interference before, and we've seen how bad it can get, you know, with fans leading out. You've had ones getting, I think it was a game in Tampa a few years back where a fan got totally smacked in the face, broke the poor sap's nose. But there was no recourse. The gentleman was not kicked out. He stayed there to, I imagine, watch the rest of the game. And this was on national television. How does it make the league look when you have fans able to do this? All we need now is a bunch of copycat fans who are going to go ahead and say, hey, you know what, I'm going to get myself on television. I'm going to get up on the boards. You know, what happens if this person falls? What happens if he breaks something? Now, mind you, most of the teams these days have a disclaimer on the back of their tickets, you know, about getting hurt, losing things, etc. But what happens if something really occur, you know, really bad occurs to a fan, and they try to sue the league or sue the team? Point blank, this guy was a total idiot and should have gotten thrown out. You get on the field during the play in any game, NFL, CFL. Far as I know, you know, starting the fights in the stands, for NBA, hockey, getting on the ice, you are tossed out of the arena. Totally tossed out. Here's some silly stuff that also, I don't know how many of you watch, European soccer, but for Chelsea this past week, fans were banned for throwing celery! Celery, it's a vegetable! It's a long time tradition, but this goes to show you where the Arena Football League possibly lacks security-wise. Okay, and I love being able to be up on the boards, being able there to pound on the dasher boards and root on our player and, you know, slap high fives and whatnot. But there's got to be a line drawn in the sand on where this can stop. The guy should have been thrown out. If you want to see it, not that I'm promoting it, you can head over to, There's actually a thread in the message board that shows the pictures. If you want to see it live, you can go over to the AFL page on ESPN.com, but I'm not telling you to do this. But it's listed, it's shown there on the highlights of the game. Total lack of class. Mind you, he didn't keep the ball either, but he still should have been thrown out. Hopefully, the Predators will do something so this does not occur again, because it makes the league look like a joke. And I think this is one thing that they are going to curtail, so it won't happen again. Period! Hopefully we're right. So I want to go ahead and start, as we mentioned, we started a thread, a Q&A session for you, the fans, who have not been, do not know the certain intricacies of a certain rule, see something on a broadcast, have a few questions, and that's what we're going to try and do. As long as we keep you doing the questions, we'll keep giving you guys the answers. And I said, this information has been given to us directly from the league, and we hope to be able to get the information to you. Have a question, as I mentioned at the start of the show, go to the thread that's in the message boards. It's about Q&A, rules Q&A. And let us know something that you want to know about. So, first question of the week goes to Rush43. His question goes, what is the rule for fielding a kickoff? I thought you were allowed 1 foot out of bounds. But in the Chicago-Columbus game, Josh Bush clearly had 2 feet out. In fact, he was a good yard or 2 yards out of bounds. Great question, Rush. I know there have been, and this hasn't been, the league has actually modified this rule a couple of times. Most recently back in 2005. Rule 5.1E for returning kicks. The kick return man is allowed to go on or past the end line or against the end line barrier. That was a rule that was changed back in 05. Out of bounds to retrieve the ball and allow the return. There must be a clean catch of the ball in the air or off the net. That was what the rule was up through this year. That was actually a modification by the Rules and Competition Committee, which stated, kick returners may have one or both feet on or beyond any out-of-bounds line and return the ball, as long as the returner is in reasonable proximity to the field of play as determined by the officials. Now, mind you, I guess we would say about half-half when it comes to the arenas that have a lot of space beyond the end line. Compared to the ones that where it's right up along the boards, the ends, the out of bounds line is right up against the end boards. So, hopefully, Rush, that will answer your question. I mean, it's now you have both feet out of bounds, no problem. I mean, this, I guess it's just a one time thing. It's not like, it's not like the NFL at all, or college football, or CFL. You know, whether it be 1 foot in or you have to have both feet in with a catch, but. Thanks for the question, and keep them coming. Second question comes from Chris and Corey. After Sunday's game with Georgia, I have to ask, what is illegal touching on an onside kick? Is it the position of the ball when you catch it, or the position of your feet when you come down? Also, he goes to mention, if the coaches can't be on the field to play, how come the cameraman can? Well, cameraman, part of the network deal, I'm sure you know that. When it comes to onside kicks, it follows under the rule of a short free kick, which is rule 5.2D. A free kick is considered short if it does not pass the receiving team's free kick line, the kicking team's 10-yard line, before it is first touched by a player on the receiving team or goes out of bounds. If the receiving team is in possession at the end of the play, the receiving team shall retain possession at that spot, hence a successfully recovered onside kick. If the kicking team touches the ball before it passes the free kick line, 10-yard line, and also known as illegal touching, the receiving team has the option of taking the ball at the spot of the illegal touching. On a short free kick, if the receiving team is offside and the kicking team illegally touches the ball, the receiving team will take possession of the ball but will be assessed a 5-yard penalty from the spot of the first touch. There's other stuff here. On a short free kick out of bounds, a 5 or 10-yard penalty on either team will be assessed from where the ball went out of bounds or the spot of the foul. On a short free kick where the kicking team is offsides or illegally touches the ball before it goes 10 yards, the receiving team may take the result of the play or take the ball at the spot of the illegal touching. Too much touching. This is not an R-rated. It's not X-rated. X-rated show. Lastly on rule 5.2D, during a short free kick, a kicking team player may not initiate contact with an opponent or push him out of the way to recover the ball until the ball has gone 10 yards or has been touched by a player of the receiving team. Penalty is 5 yards. From the spot of the foul, kicking team must give members of the receiving team an uninhibited opportunity to field the ball. Exception: when the ball is touched by a member of the receiving team, the kicking team is free to recover and advance the ball. So I think, Chris and Corey, I think the best way to describe it is, if there, it doesn't matter where the feet are, as long as if the ball is touched by the kicking team before it goes 10 yards, period, it's considered illegal touching. And I guess it sort of does make sense. I mean, if they're in the air, it'll be a call compared for the referee. But I hope that answers your question. Again, in the future, if you have any more questions, just send them our way concerning any questions you have concerning the rule book, and we'll be more than happy to answer them for you.
You are listening to AFL Tonight, presented by ArenaFan.com, celebrating 10 years as the complete arena football resource.
Now, the weekly AFL Tonight experiment continues with the 8-Ball versus the Humans. Compared to last year, I tell you, the 8-Ball is not having that good of a year at all. So far, I think having out of the four weeks, only having one or two positive weeks. This week, no match. Humans rule, humans rule. That's all I can say. 8-Ball ended up going a paltry 4-5 on the week, ending up at a total of 17-18 overall. 17-18 actually places the Magic 8-Ball at 142nd overall within the ArenaFan.com pick'em game, a standard pick'em game. Myself, I have finally broken out of the shadow of the 8-Ball. I started off fantastic at 6-0, ended up going 7-2 for the week, so I've improved to 21-14, which is good for third overall in the AFL Tonight Pick'em Supremacy Pool. But I am relegated to third. We've had one of our members drop all the way back. I've actually been able to leapfrog one, and now we actually have, like I have been, we got the 8-Ball on, who he has the 8-Ball on his ass, and makes me wonder if the 8-Ball is finally going to be able to leap above one human and make its rise to the top. If you want to follow the experiment here at AFL Tonight, you can do so by heading over to the ArenaFan.com message boards. It's clearly marked. It's the Humans versus Magic 8-Ball Pick'em. Oh, before we're gonna switch some. No, what? You want to do that? Okay, we're gonna go ahead and do that. Before we get to the AFL Tonight Game of the Week and quickly and going over, quick nod, by the way, first and foremost, that starting this Thursday, 29th, the AF2 season does begin for all of you arena football fans in AF2 cities. Some changes are also happening in the league. I do not know that much about the AF2 teams. I mean, if anybody who happens to like the AF2 and wants to contribute to the AF2, let us know, and we'll be more than happy to see if we can get your segment on the show. But arena football is in full swing now, all the way through through the end of August, if I'm not mistaken. If I don't know the schedule for AF2, but all the way through so it's in full force now, and that's the more arena football, the merrier. That's all I can say. So, as I mentioned, we are going over this week, and we're trying to see specifically how the scoring has been affected by the new substitution rules here in the Arena Football League. So far, it is it's right now the changes have not made any difference whatsoever. In actuality, through last week, scoring was up. Wasn't up much, but it was up. This week, things totally took a change, though. So, in 2006, week 4, 9 games played. We're back on that slate where it's going to be 9 across the board now. There was only 933 points scored in those 9 games played in 2006. For a average of 103.7 points per game. Not bad. Week 4, 2007, 1,027 points scored in the 9 games played. Obviously helped by the record, by the team record 83 points scored by the Utah Blaze. For an average of 114.1 points per game. So, on the year, there were up 94 points on the week from 2006 to 2007, averaging 10.4 points more per game over the year. Grand total, we're up 151 points over the 4 weeks, and scoring is up 7.2 points total per game. Doesn't seem to be much, no, but when in 2006 we were all averaging 99.5 points a game, we're already up to 106.6. You know, that 1 week last week, you know, with only having 8 games on the slate, I think really made, week 3, made the biggest difference of them all. And I'm sure it's possible that the scoring would be a lot higher if we had had that game, but it's up. The rule changes have not made any difference. If anything, the free substitution has, allowed an increase in scoring in the AFL. We will continue to monitor this through the entire season. Very interesting to see how this turns out. It may be a total debacle as far as wanting to bring the scoring down, and I'm actually quite happy, you know, with all the crap that happened, and talk about the changes. But great to see sticking it to the man, sticking it to the Elway. Sticking it to the Elway rule, whatever. Week 5 is upon us, and as we do weekly here at AFL Tonight, we are going to be picking our game of the week, our pick. It's going to be the AFL Tonight pick of the week, starting on Friday, March 30th. Now, by the way, anything that we happen to mention here as far as television are subject to change, so keep up with your schedules. Go over to our schedule page at arenafan.com for all the updated information. 2 games on Friday night. Luckily for you, the fans who can't attend them, both of these games are going to be on AFLNet. Georgia Forest goes into Columbus to play the Destroyers. The game, by the way, is also going to be broadcast on Sirius Satellite Radio. At 8 o'clock Eastern, you got Arizona traveling to Kansas City. I really don't know how this game's going to turn out. Arizona has been up and down this year, but Kansas City is sort of in the same boat. It's a different Kansas City team. Can they get better than 5-11? I really think they can. It's something to do. Raymond Filial at the helm has made a big difference for the Brigade, and for the fans of Kansas City, which I would consider one of the best in the league, you know, the fan base in the league, it'd be nice to knock off this long-time perennial powerhouse in the league, the Arizona Rattlers. Saturday, Southern Division rivalry, Orlando, New Orleans. Game's going to be broadcast on AFLNet. This could be a make-or-break game for both teams. Orlando coming off that shellacking by Dallas, already losing one game in the standings in the Southern Division. New Orleans themselves need to get back on track. After getting beat last week and not really showing up versus L.A., they really need to be able to show up and continue to keep pace with the Georgia Force in the Southern Division. Tampa Bay, I think this is the bomb of the week. Most likely going to be a total blowout. At 10:30, Tampa Bay travels to San Jose. I really don't think Coach Markham's going to be very happy after this game. Usually teams traveling from the west, east to west coast usually do not do that well. Seems to be the west, when traveling west to east, teams have a better chance at winning, but this game could be an absolute massacre. Battle of Texas! Happened to skip this one, sorry. 8:30, Austin, Dallas. It's also gonna be, if I read correctly, it's gonna be also the matchup of Dust Bowl 2. It is the second annual game between the fans and fan clubs between the Austin Wranglers and the Dallas Desperados. I think one of the cool things is they're actually going to be able to play this game on the turf at the arena in Dallas. Sunday, Philadelphia, New York. New York is playing very well as of late. By the way, this game is going to be broadcast on Sirius Satellite Radio. Philadelphia, undefeated, wants to keep pace with the Dallas Desperados. Should be a very interesting Eastern Division game. Philadelphia probably has the upper hand, but New York is playing better as of late. But we'll have to see specifically what was going to happen in this game. ESPN, ESPN2 and ESPN 360 is going to be the LA Avengers and the Chicago Rush. LA coming in, and I think they're probably a big surprise this year, especially with Sonny Cumbie at the helm. Chicago has been playing finally like the champion that they are. So it should be a great matchup. That game is at 1:30 Eastern Time. 3 o'clock is Nashville at Colorado. I don't know how this game is going to turn out, to be honest with you. Nashville, I don't know. You know, hey, picking against a team that has a quarterback with the last name of Smoker, I don't know. Colorado is just not the same this year. They have lost too many wide receivers. I don't know if it's just becoming the Damien Harrell show, but they're becoming too one-dimensional. So it should be a big test for Colorado, and still one of the best fan bases in the league. And last but not least, surprising Utah Blaze is going to be going to Las Vegas. Second game being played at the Orleans Arena in Las Vegas. Utah comes in on a high note after scoring a record 83 points and finally getting some defense versus the Grand Rapids Rampage. That's not much of a stretch, but mind you. But they go into Vegas, who is coming off a loss to the Arizona Rattlers. Grand Rapids, by the way, thank God, has the week off. Looking at the games this week, I mean, they're not, you know, not too many games really stand out. I'm probably going to be placing the Orlando-New Orleans game as the AFL Tonight game of the week, just because of it being a Southern Division matchup. And as we know, usually divisional games will make or break a season, especially within their own division. So that is our game of the week here at AFL Tonight. So I want to go ahead and thank everybody for joining us this week. Again, any questions when it comes to rules, let us know. You can shoot us an email, head over to the contact us section, choose my name, Tim Capper, and send me an email. Same thing if you have any rule questions, if you have any fan notes, want to give us some feedback, anything concerning the show, shoot us a line also, or any suggestions. One quick thing too, before I let you go, we at Arena Fan are going to be trying to do the second annual Arena Fan Bash in New Orleans. We want everybody to, obviously, who is there, to come by and join us. We are currently making plans to make this hopefully to be a better bash than it was last year. It'll be, for those who don't know, it is going to be the pregame tailgate party. Everything will be announced in the near future. If you happen to live in the New Orleans area and would like to help us get the party going, volunteer, whatnot, shoot myself an email or send an email to Joe Kaufman, our illustrious president, and let him know, and we will hopefully be able to get you involved in some way. So thank you for joining us this week here on the show. We will be back again next week. Same podcast place, same podcast channel. That's so cheesy. Why do you keep putting that in the script? Man. We will be back next week. Join us. We want to thank all of you who have been joining us. You make the show what it is today. For everybody here on the AFL Tonight staff, I'm Tim Capper. Watch the rebounds off the net.
ArenaFan.com, celebrating 10 years as the Internet's complete arena football resource.
Mission Control, 2049er, transmission concluded.